Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
The goody goody.
Sabrina Jellies. The goody goody. You're listening to the goody goody. Last week on the goody goody, Freckle and Sabrina chatted about this.
What about a woman isn't strong enough to bear a child? And what about a man isn't like soft enough to...
Well, that's what I think. It's like the strong enough to bear a child is actually feminine but masculine, you know?
Yeah,
it's like
totally.
You're pushing out. It's like what could
more
be
pain,
more painful?
Yeah.
Freckle had this epiphany.
The reason why I'm coming around to non-conforming is I'm really hitting that word conforming as such a buzzword to anything. Like,
yeah.
Because like I would never transition from one binary to the polar opposite binary.
Yes.
So in my mind, when it comes to representation, I don't want to be perceived by the same beauty standards uh-huh. of a female through the male gaze
yes.
of being sexually desirable.
And Sabrina had this epiphany.
Because I needed to see me. I needed to see me to be me.
And we're back.
I went to a really, really radical liberal arts high school, the LA County High School for the Arts. And I was a theater major, but they never talked about acting on TV or film. It was all stage work, most specifically performance art,
mm-hmm.
theater, coming out of the postmodern dance world using kinesthetic response and spatial relationship.
What's kinesthetic response and spatial relationship?
So like viewpoints.
For the listener who doesn't know, I obviously do.
Anne Bogart has created the dialogue around six viewpoints. It's a way of a company of actors to come together and like a school of fish, they move at the same time. They can drop to the floor at the same time. They can
okay.
clap at the same time. They're all in tune. So a director doesn't have to say, go from the table to the bookshelf. You already know you're creating a dynamic stage picture by your company's ensemble work.
Okay.
And so we were trained in that with Alexander technique and, you know, Laban and body expressionism. And so at that point, we're already stripping away so many layers of what the self is. I always thought of wardrobe or clothes as wardrobe and wardrobe as costume. So
yeah.
The difference between a dress and a suit and a fabric,
mm-hmm.
it always just felt like fabric to me and never felt too rigid. And also like where I grew up, it was cool to go to the Goodwill or Salvation Army
yeah.
and find like oversized coats and like slips and, you know, and dress in all kinds of, I mean, you've seen the 70s music fame.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's LaGuardia in New York. It's like that meets Rocky Horror. Kind of meets like, the
okay,
craft.
Cool. So you were actually like you had a lot of examples of people who were doing similar sort
yeah,
of like
at
expression.
At a very young age, and I didn't realize that until now. Liza,
go find a giant overcoat and just wrap yourself in it.
Yeah.
And wait for Cowboy to bring his pink boner over to you because
yeah,
it's already
paint
out
him a
for
picture. You.
You
know better. You know how to seduce. I would hope.
It's funny because you were like, I didn't do this to her because Liza has a pain, but Liza's a girl. Or Liza's got a girl name.
Yeah. He's very much a boy. He's grown into a boy. As a dainty puppy, he was the prettiest little princess. But now he's coming for Cowboy.
Cowboys into it.
Yeah. I knew they would.
This is a great pair. Yeah, they should hang more often.
If I just let the door open, are they free to go in and out?
Yeah, okay. They can. The only thing is, no, open the door.
Because the feet.
Yeah, because the feet will be muddy. So just open the door and let them out.
The have you ever had an Uber? Most Ubers, I would say, first of all, I go right to the back of the back seat. I never go in the first front.
Yeah, that's a newbie.
Yeah.
That's what parents get in the front, and it's cute.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I can't imagine anyone. And then also, I don't think it's rude or inappropriate to immediately be on your phone as if you're doing work, because I don't even do emails or stuff from an actual computer. I use my phone for everything. So whether you know I'm looking at
the business exchange is that you take me from one place to another and that our energy is pleasant, hopefully, and that
generally that's just an immediate, like, I feel like if as soon as I'm less like in my phone, they would prefer to let go and let God, you know, and drive along. And and so it's very, very rare that I even clock the atmosphere inside of a car.
Uh-huh.
The new thing I do when I have Liza is I go, oh, is it okay? She's just going to sit in my lap. It's a puppy, you know? And 90% of the time, they're like, oh, of course.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, yeah, okay. You know, so.
Give me one more example.
Yeah. I think because I made him wait a long time, he was like, oh, I'm allergic. And I was like, really? Okay, I'll get another car.
Yeah.
But so I've been a little bit in tune to, like, but I don't have her always with me. So I usually don't clock the vibe in the car. Sometimes whatever they're playing, if it's pleasant music, it's distracting enough, it's fine. Or I have my earphones in.
Uh-huh.
So, like, it really doesn't matter. But this was, like, rain does that weird thing where it makes the car stuffy. And because it's cold outside, I think they think, turn the heater on so the customer's warm.
Yes.
But it's just like you're in a airtight,
it's claustrophobic,
stuffy car. Yeah. And like a not, oh, I mean, I didn't get an SUV. I should have known better, or comfort. I usually
do. You got into a car. You got on your phone. You it were was stuffy. Call it.
Just so. Yeah. So I got a regular
car. Well, would you want to drive to gyms after this?
Yeah. Okay. I got to drop Liza off.
Okay. You can't bring Liza to gym.
No, because Bronte.
Okay,
I made that mistake one time, and it like
was not cool.
No,
okay.
But I'm not far from gym.
Okay, great.
So, yeah,
we'll do it.
So I like immediately felt the like of the car, and then it was this. What was like the worst nightmare of what a podcast I would imagine to be, which would just be like the air between talking was like so thick, and like I missed the beginning, so I didn't understand what she was there on for. So it was like he sounded very cool and collective and asking questions. So like, so you grew up in Orange County, and then you went over to, and she'd be like, yes. And then my father had a friend, Tim. Like, and I
and
just was like,
silence, the fucking heat is just punishing
the
you.
The heat, and then like Liza, and then just like that too. You're just like on an uphill climb, between her and the thing. And I was a little like, oh, I get a little mic shy right before, because I'm like, I really do have no censor, and I am so. I've only recently been paranoid about things I've done or said that can come back and haunt me. So, because that's just
when I started this podcast, that was like one of the first things that I felt. And now that I'm just like talking and releasing it, it feels less scary. But like, it is I had a podcast in New York about 4 or 5 years ago, and I never thought about the repercussions of the things that I say. And now, just the way, like, it really is like just the way things have changed. Like, I think the current president and everything, like, it's just made things so much more heightened, and someone could hear something and then attack you and all of that. Like, just like all of the things that you visualize when you decide whether or not you're going to say something.
Yeah. And I think, things out of context sound different. And yes. Like I said, I say things that sound may come off problematic. I'm totally on the like marginalized small person's side, like always. Like I am.
Yeah, woke it's so
enough.
Evident. Like, it's in your identity.
You would
think
that people would just.
Well, what do you
know?
Was there something that happened that made you feel that way? Like, did you get slammed by someone?
No, it's just every
or?
Not me. I'm
just
I
like
would
other
just
people
I
around
would say
you.
Oh, that's just Freckle. Yeah, she's a cunt. You know. Yeah. Most women are, right? But no, I just the way they nitpick little things, and I do say things off the cusp, or I do say things without a filter. I have cognitive dissociative personality disorder or something,
yeah.
Which in rehab was a way of saying that, you know, I had this defense of like kind of checking out and checking in. And and my one trauma therapist was like, it's why you're creative, because you go from this, this, and this, and this to all these things. And then I'm
checking out and checking in.
Yeah. So like a cognitive dissociation, like for instance, someone who you would want your accountant to not scatter numbers around. You want them to know like 1 + 1 = 2.
Unless I
want to
hide something.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, you want
but
someone to be on the
ball.
If
squiggly
and,
lines
yes.
and moons coming out.
Here's your tax return.
Yeah. Shooting stars. Like then,
this is three circles.
Yeah. I mean, because those three circles may be on the right coordinates to like a higher yes. frequency. So I don't put anything past anyone. But it just leads to different things. So I know I can say things.
When were you in rehab?
March.
March. Yeah. Was it, I'm assuming it was a good experience, right?
I mean, I've always wanted to go to rehab because like, I grew up in LA, I read Valley of the Dolls. Like, you know, it was kind of a rite of passage, right?
And oh my God, that's so good.
I went for a tune-up, as I say. I went for the, and just for drinking, I've never really had a drug problem. I've always had a drug answer. I like psychedelics. It's so funny. Like booze can get me angry and maybe dark, especially with all the recent death or the past death. Uh-huh. I didn't used to before the death ever get dark. I was always very jovial and real.
But ever since
professional,
all this
yeah,
baggage,
it just kind of like built up and some stuff came out. I've always thought, well, get it out, right? And I don't have to remember it. Mm-hmm. But you know, it just booze make me a monster. Hardcore drugs, and I don't mean your heroines or meths. I don't even know where to find crystal meth. I didn't know that was such an epidemic.
They take my meth drugs.
Exactly. I mean, probably the best way to smuggle drugs on a baby. Because who's going
to... Definitely the best way to steal jewelry. And I'm speaking from experience.
That heavy diaper.
I'm kidding, guys.
I like emeralds, so...
heavy diaper.
Yeah. So
I that is probably
like,
the best way, and also don't do it.
Yeah, no. Just there's other ways, and
just trust in Freckle. There are other ways.
I mean, I don't know if I've taken.
Wait, I'm not talking
eaten
to
too many
Freckle.
Mushrooms.
I'm talking to Jason.
No, I'm Freckle. I'm Freckle.
You're
all
Freckle.
The time. Yeah. I'm the cognitive being that embodies the Jason Green's body, the host
yes,
body,
bitch.
Jason. You know, my gender, my sexuality, my love is very open and very free and very pan poly, you name it. And
okay, so you didn't used to go to a dark place with alcohol, but then all of these tragedies, these deaths brought you to a place where when you drank you would go dark.
Yeah.
And then you were like, this is a perfect time to go to rehab. I've always wanted to.
Yeah, pretty much. I was like, I sold my dad's house and I was like, I have the money. I mean, I'm not going
to
go to a non-bougie
I can go to like
one.
An all-inclusive.
Yeah, it's going to be like a nice retreat.
Ooh, what was it called?
I can't.
You can't say it. Okay.
Yeah. But good. It was good.
Hey,
it was
that's really good censorship
yeah.
of yourself.
It was 5 hours of group therapy. And for any like artist, that's just like so conducive to one's work. And,
yeah.
It was gay rehab, so I was like the lady of the house.
Oh my gosh. Was
it
there was hooking
so
up?
Much fun. No, that was, I used to get in trouble for having boys in my room, but there's absolutely no even like signs of affection or touching.
But were there hot people?
There were. There were.
Yeah, because, like, darkness is hot. And, like, vulnerability is hot.
Yeah, and you had, like, your classic, like, bad boy syndromes who just, like, they were always the bad boy and since forever, you know? And, like, there's just something sexy about
being
bad.
You've got your James Deans. You've got your Vin Diesels. You've got your Do You Smell What the Rock Is Cookings? The Rock is not a bad boy.
Or, like, Axl Rose types.
Yeah, you know? I knew that I'd get it wrong if I listed too many bad boys past James Dean. You've got your Steve Urkels. You've
got your bad girls.
Your bad girls. Your Joan Jett's. Your Jennifer Love Hewitt's. See, I can never go past one.
Fairuza Balk.
Okay, so that was a positive experience, and now you're not drinking. And it's hard. It's hard, right?
Well, I still like to spiritually explore with your LSDs, your mushrooms, and I take it very seriously, and I partake in isolated times. The thing is, I have a personality that is pretty lubed up and ready to go. And, like, I love to dance and, like, I'll talk to anyone. So, like, if I drink a Red Bull at a bar, I'm pretty good to go. And, at the end of the night, when I can tell everybody else is, like, tanked, it's just kind of boring.
Yeah.
And I'm like, going through issues and going through all this stuff I'm processing, a bottle of Chardonnay would help. Yeah. Like, you know, so I just have to really use other means to find that inner peace. And
are you in therapy?
No. Because I did a lot after, I did trauma therapy after rehab, and I just, like, needed a break from
all that.
From therapy. Like,
yeah.
But I do my own form of practice, and I'm in constant meditation.
Can you share how you meditate? I'm someone that I really like to meditate. I talk to people about meditation all the time as if I do it, but I'd like to do it more. What does your meditation look like?
Certainly starting with the breath. And, like, finding where my breathing's at and getting as, like, long exhales. I kind of even just do it as an exercise for diaphragmatic breathing. Like, if I can count however long I can count breathing on an exhale, holding, I start with 30 seconds. Holding
your breath.
Exhale. And hold.
I almost did it, right? How long are you doing it for?
30.
Oh my God. I would have been warned, I could have.
No, of course. Yeah. I did it really fast and off the cuff. But if you do that, I think your brain doesn't have much time to think about anything else. Because when you get to that exasperation one. So
it's built-in meditation.
Lessons. Yeah, so then you're in, like, a rhythmic breathing. And then if I'm thinking about something, spiraling a lot, I'll get on a guided meditation. That's the easy. So I do a lot of book on tape because I'm an auditory learner as opposed to visual. And my eyes will just get tired right away and my reading comprehension is lousy. But yeah. I can listen for like 2 hours straight to almost anything. So I go into a pure meditation in just listening because my thoughts stop when I'm listening. I guess I'm extrapolating, but mostly taking in, receiving. So if I do a guided meditation, I'm pretty like.
Yeah, then, I guess when I'm working out, I'm meditating. When I'm in the bathtub looking at the trees, I'm meditating.
Are you doing affirmations?
I definitely, whenever I take a bath, look at the tree and do thank yous. Okay. Is that affirmations?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not like, I do what feels like pretty organic too. Like, do you ever just.
I do like DJ Khaled. This one goes out to the universe.
Oh, that's good. Do you ever just go from like, if I were you, I'd go from that back door to the front door.
Yeah.
And walk in slow motion.
Oh.
And even if it takes 5 minutes to get there, because then you're doing an active meditation. So it like kind of wires your brain and mind and body to flow with that stream of consciousness, which is usually a lot of the disconnects I think that we have is like getting from where the mind's going to where our body is at.
Yes.
Or our body somewhere, and then the mind's just like shooting so far out.
What is something that you learned, like in all of the stuff that you've been through? Is there something that, because it seems like you really started off with this thing that takes people forever, if not never, to learn, which is like just being in yourself is the key when it comes to your gender expression and all of that. But is there something that you learned, or another layer of that that you learned through rehab, through losing your parents and getting through all of that? Is there like kind of, or an affirmation that you're kind of clinging to right now that's like helping you get through?
When I started letting myself do whatever the fuck I wanted to do, mm-hmm. like if someday I need to lay in bed all day, mm-hmm. if I need to eat cheesecake, if I need to not go to something, I really...
Forgiveness.
Yeah, and I've allowed myself...
Letting go of perfection in a way?
Yeah, that's probably been the biggest one. And really, like, just kind of not... Like, I could look back at a lot of situations in which I didn't put my best face forward. I think especially out of coming into some clarity after so much chaos, uh-huh. that I was like, wow, I really acted out of emotion then, or like, whoa, I was really in such a different loop then, or wow, I was really spinning on something there and I just don't feel that way now. And like, uh-huh. when I think back, I'm like, wow, the behavior I was probably exhibiting. And then it's like, yeah, okay.
Whatever. Yeah, not classifying it as a regret, but classifying it as something that's different for you now, that there's a different perspective on.
Right. You know, there's a big part in AA and a lot of programs, which is like the, is it the apology or this? I didn't fully do the full
coming
steps.
To amends.
Amends, which, you know, if it's like... Sometimes you gotta just like maybe put that on, put a pin in it and like let yourself breathe first before you even get to the mm-hmm. amends, you know? Because mm-hmm. if you're like, and then sometimes I think there's just enough people that like, you know what, you're not gonna make the amends and that's okay. And they don't need, like, you need you first and like the world. They can just, I wrap it in my head as like, my favorite definition of the word spirituality is the barometer of your compassion. So that's they good. Can just exercise their compassion. They don't need me to.
Ooh, that's the real deep shit.
You know what's crazy? My hand just went on my hip and hit the exact right button, which I think means we're peak spirituality right now.
Yeah. Nice.
We were synchronized. We're that version of the acting class that you said where you're just not even thinking, you're moving like a school of fish and hitting mm-hmm. the right sound effects. Is that
totally.
Is what you said?
Kinesthetic response.
Kinesthetic response, baby.
Hollywood.
Where do you
scoop,
go when you trip?
Scoop, scoop.
When I trip?
Scoop, Hollywood. Scoop, 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 scoop.
Do you mean like meditation? Where does it take me? Or where? Or what my version of what you just said?
Do you ever use psychedelics?
Oh, yeah, totally. I've done mushrooms. There is this place in LA that they do like a form of ayahuasca.
Oh.
It's like an overnight trip, and it's not mm-hmm. the real ayahuasca, but it's like you... So
what is it?
How you set intentions and you...
Why isn't it the real one?
I think it's just like different... I think the last time that I did, they like wait to give you that. Like mm-hmm. you've got to do it a bunch of times to get that. But yeah, just, I go to, with those journeys, I just end up having a lot of empathy and I go to the places that I've had pain in my life and I like, it feels like I'm pouring empathy into those places and seeing it from like a big thing for me in my adult life was coming out to my Muslim family and the story in my head or the story that happened was that I came out and they rejected me and that it was like a family breakup and they were so important to me growing up and
because it's against the religion.
Yeah.
Is it currently against your parents' religion?
Not my parents. It's my dad's side of the family. But now that I've like, now that time has gone by and there's been healing in terms of just them reconnecting with me and I have a lot more empathy and I realize that like where they're coming from, it was a shock And I was very far along my journey as a gay person when I told them I was fully married. So there was a lot for them to deal with. There was a lot of, like, I'm sure feeling not looped in and feeling like I was hiding secrets from them. But that was, like, definitely part of, like, the journey was going to that place and feeling all this empathy for them. I was so angry and really, like, letting go of that anger and realizing, like, that anger doesn't serve anyone and it's not real. It was like their reaction could have been more loving, but my reaction should be the most loving given.
Outcasted or?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
For like, well, it was just like, they were like, they kind of didn't reply. No one replied to the email. And the only replies that we did get when my mom kind of like said like, hey, is anyone out there? Like, anyone going to say anything? Was like from cousins. I thought my cousins would kind of have my back and be like, hey, we're the new generation.
So you came
like
out to your parents and the entire family?
No, came out to my parents earlier. Mm-hmm. And they had a hard time, but like in a more conventional way where it was like they had no example out there of what it looked like to be gay and to be happy and to have a family and all these things that they really wished for me. They thought me coming out meant I was not going to achieve these things that they really hoped for me and my stability and all of that. But I think over time, when they got to know girlfriends of mine and they saw sort of how this was just another layer of me that made me unique but didn't make me
evil,
evil or sad or any of these other...
A pervert. Well, maybe a pervert.
But. Totally. they came to a chill place in a more conventional coming out story way. But my extended family who are more religious and culturally, it's just like, there was no, the answers from them, like the emails that ended up coming in from the cousins were like, she was this and she was that, she was funny, but we can't deal with this and we're not going to accept this, which felt very like,
God.
Yeah, that was like stab
in
the heart.
Who could get behind a typewriter and type that?
I know, in this modern day, a typewriter.
Oh, a keyboard, yeah. I had a gay uncle, so like even as a kid, I had like a gay family member.
Yes, and I'm sure, you know, like in our family, there's gay people. It's just that they haven't had access or they haven't had, and that's the real disconnect is that they're from a culture where it's not about self-serving. It's not about all the things that we're talking about, the philosophies that our culture is, which is let's find, like, basically like the root of this podcast is generally what I'm trying to get at is like sleepover chats about like what makes you happy and what are the mm-hmm. lessons you've learned and like who are you and identity. It's not about that. It's about serving God and it's about serving your family. Even who your partner is going to be for the rest of your life is decided by your family. And so when you're living your life by those rules, it's really jarring for someone to say like, hey, I'm doing this and be happy for me. And it's like the opposite of what anyone would want. It's the opposite of what God says to do and I'm doing it. So be happy, you know, but I'm impressed and I'm happy and I'm proud of with time going by that they do ask about Shauna now and they're so happy to get pictures of Wolfie and, you know, as much as they can be, they are involved and as much as I can be, I am involved. Like really it's landed us in a, I think, more healthy, realistic place because there is just on my dad's side of the family, such a pressure to, or what's normal for them is a high level of involvement in family in a way that I have a much broader sense of what family means. And family, I will never, ever lose my love, my deep love for these people that I am related to. And yet there's some of the family members that I'm not really connected to. I feel much more connected to, and it doesn't have to do with how religious or not religious, it's just more of like a soul thing. Like we see each other, some of my aunts and uncles, and others, not so much. But like, you and I, or we're going to Jim's house later, I consider a lot of the people that'll be there as like deep family, you know?
Yeah.
Which I feel lucky for.
Is this an area of Canada that is very conservative?
No, it's Islam. Pakistan. Oh. My dad is Pakistani.
Okay.
That's hilarious that there'd be an area of Canada.
I was trying to
we love beavers and maple syrup and we don't love the same gender.
Pakistan family here would have the same.
Yes.
And well, still does, or?
Well, not all of them. Certainly not. No. And I think that also it's just like, it goes back to what we started talking about in the last episode, because I think we're in the second episode, but when we first started chatting about examples, seeing something and connecting with it, seeing you for someone who doesn't feel connected to one gender or the other, or doesn't feel trans but doesn't feel binary, is so huge because they see an example of a way to be, and then they can use that as a model and find their own way. And maybe their own way is trans, maybe their own way isn't, but either way, it's just so valuable to be at a time where we are, I think, there's a lot of people that are waking up to this idea of like just being you and expressing you and not clinging to some version of normal is the deepest happiness, the deepest fulfillment that you can get.
Yeah.
You know, in a way that some people find that in God and some people find that in other things. I think for what I'm saying, for my family, my extended Muslim family, they had never connected with an example of someone who could be gay and be married and have children, which is their values, you know? And I think it's been really like enriching for them and for me to go through this, because I've now reconnected with them in a way where I'm not like, well, these fucking Muslim people, they don't get it. And they, you know, well, they don't deserve me if they're going to reject me. It's like, oh no, they needed time to come back. And for them, I'm sure, you know, they have a completely different idea and sense of what it is to be gay and live a gay life before I came out to them and before they saw, you know, I'm like really proud of my family. And I think that they're also proud of the family that I've built and that we've built, that we are, and we happen to be gay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our dogs are pounding on the door. Should we let them in?
Okay.
Let's let the dogs in and let's close out with a meditation.
Was this good?
This was great.
Oh, I was saying that now I feel ever again so inspired to be seen, be vulnerable, be heard, play roles so that people can see themselves, and then somebody may have that cousin that they may at first not have fully accepted, but maybe laughing in a comedy situation or seeing the power of movies and cinema still holds to theater's testament, and that then there could be just a gravitational move towards openness.
Yeah.
Because it's possible.
Yeah. It's so wild about just the full circle of like going in having the biggest impact. Like you would think, or the old me would think that the way to connect would be to homogenize in a way, you know, to connect by being like, you golf, I golf, you know, that thing. But it's actually more the most honest we can be is the most profound way to have the deepest impact, the biggest impact.
Totally.
I think we went to the moon and the stars in space, and I couldn't have done it with a better guest. Freckle, I love you.
I love you too. Is that your Jodie Foster in contact? Because I'll be the Matthew McConaughey.
I've literally seen only Titanic and Spice World. Okay, honey.
Thank you, honey.
Let's go party. Okay?
Party at Jim's.
Party at Jim's. Everybody's invited. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Ooh, that's the real deep shit.
Hi, Bina. I just wanted to touch base with you because I haven't talked to you in a while. I went swimming today with Dad. You know, he goes daily, and I try to tag along once or twice per week. I don't really like to get my hair all wet every day, especially in wintertime. And I don't like the smell when my hair smells awful from chlorine. But I have a new trick for that. When you're having a shower before entering the pool, wet your hair and add some good conditioner, leave it on for a minute or so, and then rinse it off. This way the hair doesn't soak in the chlorine, and it really, really, really works. I find swimming quite relaxing and it seems to relieve stress. Going for a walk does the trick for me as well, especially in nature and, of course, gardening, which unfortunately I can't do right now because it's winter and the ground is all frozen. I wish I could meditate because everybody says that really relieves the stress, but I really have a hard time controlling my thoughts. Next time, maybe you can tell me how you relieve your stress. Bye-bye. Love you.
Forever
Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.